Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We're the loving church with Jesus at heart. And I don't see any visitors. Glad to see everybody here. This Sunday is carry-in. Please join us for a time of fellowship after the service. The board will meet Tuesday, this week, at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. And I don't know if you all realize it, but anyone can come to the board meetings. So please do, if you happen to be having something special you're in charge of, membership, publicity, whatever, please make sure you join us too. But anyone can come to the board meetings. Bingo and dessert night will be Friday the 13th, and I think, Paul, isn't that next Friday? Yes. 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Bring a dessert of your choice enough to share. Saturday morning next, 8 a.m., the disciple men will meet in the fellowship hall. Acts donation for March is pasta sauce. Please notice in your bulletin a list of additional activities this week. Are there any other announcements? And we see we have Miss Irene back. She was actually out of town, and we were unable to replace her due to funny things that happened and people getting appendicitis and what have you. And she came all the way back just for us this morning.
Thank you.
Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. In this season of Lent, a time of preparation,
God calls us to gather, to worship, to pray, to sing, to listen for God's voice.
As we walk with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem,
we see looming before us a cross, a shadow on the horizon.
We gather as fellow travelers to the city, the cross, and what lies beyond.
God has called us together, and so we worship,
we pray, we sing, and we listen. Please remain standing if you can, and open to 180 for our opening hymn, Lord, who throughout these 40 days.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have gathered each of us in this place to worship you this morning. We give you thanks for our Lenten journeys, for individual and for collective journeys, that have led us here this day. As we have sung and as we have said, let us feel you in the words, in the songs, and in the prayers. In Christ's name we pray, as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship as we remain seated and sing hymn number 5, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Our prayer concerns, let's see, I have two cards. We have a thanks for April for making communion bread. So we want to give April a thanks for that. And also on the prayer concerns, first I want to call attention to the back of your bulletin where we have our current and our ongoing prayer concerns. In addition to those, Rhoda and John Karst. Rhoda was, and her son were with us last week. The family of Bobby Knight. Judy's new car. Did you get it? Your car? Did you get it yet?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yay. USC women's basketball team, yes, who play in the championship game at 2 o'clock today. Sally Clayton. Has she moved this week? Is that right, Caroline?
Yes.
Okay. Paula Entwistle, where's April? April's friend. And then the flu and coronavirus victims, and for a quick cure. Also last week in the bulletin, Kendall, who's Rhoda and John's son, had put in a prayer request for energy and miraculous healing for Rhoda's mind and spirit, and for help with the visiting angels who helped them as in his absence. Are there any other joys or concerns to share? Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Stephanie and Cora. Okay, yes.
I have two, actually. First, my cousin Laura has been
Laura or Lauren?
Lauren.
Lauren, okay.
L-A-U-R-E-N.
Okay.
Emmanuel.
Uh-huh. Oh, and her name is?
Her aunt and her uncle and her two cousins and their spouses.
Mm. And what was your friend's name? Pierre?
Pia.
Pia, okay.
Of course, I put an R on the end of
it. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I heard Pierre. That's right.
But it is Pia.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Any others? Yes, prayer requests? Oh, no, okay. Did you have a prayer request? Okay.
Will you announce at church tomorrow morning that our self-help group is hanging orange bows downtown tomorrow, 1:30 p.m.? You may have plans on it.
This is Pam that used
Pam
to?
Pam Owen.
Okay.
Pam Owen sent me this text saying that the MS group is hanging orange bows downtown. We do this every year just to let people know that the MS walk is coming up. And it's going to start at 1:30. It's going to be downtown. And people have made the bows. You know, they're pretty little bows. We hang them up. And and you can make bows too if you like. I guess I should have read this before. Yes.
No, it's Monday. Because she's saying to announce it today that they're going to do it tomorrow. Okay. So I would bet it's Monday.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, it's my fault.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I, Millie's in the back. I haven't been able to get in touch with Ida in the last 24 hours. Does anybody know? Anybody got an update? Have you talked to her? Okay. They're still in the hospital, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I talked to her earlier this week, and Chuck was going to go into the Hutterberg oxygen chamber to help with the wound.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been going back and forth
right
from the hospital, so she's been able to at least rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked to her Thursday, and she said that she thought they might get discharged, and then he would keep that hyperbaric treatments as an outpatient. But I haven't been able to get her, and I've called both phones, and so I don't know. I guess they're still in the hospital. So, okay, all right, okay. Well, let's pray together. God, we give you thanks again for the opportunity to worship you, and to worship you by talking to you, and bringing to you the concerns of our hearts. We pray for Chuck and Ida this morning, because even though we may not know exactly where they are, you do, and you know all that is going on. And we place them in your care, that you may help him to be healed and help her to have the strength and safety as she goes back and forth. Dear God, we also pray for Stephanie and for little Cora, that you will be with them and continue to put your healing touch to them. To God, we pray for Lauren as she deals with this new diagnosis. We pray for the family of Bobby Knight. We give thanks for Judy's new vehicle and pray for many miles and years of safe travel in it. We pray for Sally as she adjusts to a new room and a new roommate. And we give you thanks that she has a window, that she can see your beautiful outdoors. We pray for Paula Entwistle. We pray for Rhoda and John Karst. We pray for Pam and for all the ones that are working on the bows for the MS walk. And we pray for those who will be walking in it. We pray for Pia and for her family as they are dealing with the coronavirus. We pray for all that are dealing with the flu and the coronavirus. We also pray for levels of fear. We pray for calmness and a sense of doing the right thing for the right reasons. Dear God, we give you thanks for April and for her willingness to take on tasks that have been done for a long time by other people. And we give you thanks for Caroline and for her investment into April and teaching her how to do this. Dear God, we pray not only for the USC women's team today, but we pray for all the women athletes that are in their tournaments throughout the different conferences, that they may play without injury, and that they may all play to the best of their abilities. Dear God, we pray for safe travel for the fans as they go home. We thank you for this congregation and for your work within us. We thank you for being with us as we walk through Lent to examine our relationship with you more closely. Continue to guide us. Continue to help us face our own sins with honesty and to be able to face you with contrite hearts so that we can experience your forgiveness afresh. Be with us as we continue to worship you and hear our prayers. Our communion hymn will be hymn number 387, Bread of the World and Mercy Broken. But before we sing that hymn, I want you to flip on over a little bit to 407. It's a call to communion. I'm going to read it, but I want you to follow it. Because one of the things as we walk through Lent, and we examine our own hearts, it's also helpful to examine our own denomination and have an identity check in as we see our own history and why we do communion every Sunday. I'm going to read now as our call to communion. It says, Alexander Campbell, a founder of the Disciples of Christ, reports the following call to communion given by an elder in the early 19th century. With these words, we gather with the saints of the ages at the table of our one Lord. In memory of his death, this monumental table was instituted, and as the Lord ever lives in heaven, so he ever lives in the hearts of his people. As the first disciples, taught by the apostles in person, came together into one place to eat the Lord's Supper, and as they selected the first day of the week in honor of his resurrection for this purpose, so we, having the same Lord, the same faith, the same hope, with them, have vowed to do as they did. We owe as much to the Lord as they, and ought to love, honor, and obey him as much as they. And now let us sing together, standing if you are able, our offertory hymn 387, Bread of the World and Mercy Broken.
I move.
Thank you. You may be seated. We're reminded that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, he was eating with his disciples, and he took the bread, and he gave thanks to it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body that is broken for you." Hear now the prayer for our bread.
For the bread. God of glory, we come into your presence with awe and wonder. Your ways are beyond our comprehension. Your glory is greater than that of all the galaxies in the universe. Yet in the breaking of this bread, we can know you, for in it we recall Jesus the Christ. We recall that Jesus came to be our life and light, to lead us to your glory. With Jesus at our side, we behold your glory, not with abject terror, but with love and trust. In the work of Jesus, we have become your beloved children and can answer your invitation to eat at this table today. Amen.
Broken for you. In the same way, he took the cup after supper also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Hear now our prayer for the cup.
Let us pray for the cup. O gracious and giving God, we come as one people to drink this cup. We come grateful for what this cup represents, the life of our Savior Jesus Christ, which was given up that we may have the joy of life abundant. Help us to learn at this table to be truly one in love, forgiving one another as you have forgiven us. Help us to dwell in your word always and to live out your peace in our words, our witness, and our work. Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. And now let us worship together through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Dear God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to give back to you and to your work here on earth. We ask your blessing on these offerings and help us to be good stewards as we use them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you're able in the singing of the doxology.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. That was beautiful. We didn't choose a scripture reader today because we thought we had a guest minister who was going to read his own scripture. So I will read the scripture today. It is Romans 4, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip and read verses 13 through 17, and it's in your Pew Bible on page 1148. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. And I'll skip over to verse 13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offsprings, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead, and calls things that are not as though they were. May God bless the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. My dad grew up Primitive Baptist. I don't know if there's have many Primitive Baptist churches in South Carolina, but in Florida there are a lot of them. And they're a very strict denomination, have a lot of rules and what a lot of thou shalt nots, and I was raised with all of those shalt nots. But one of the things, when I got called to ministry and went to seminary, my dad, who the Primitive Baptist churches do not, they have men and women not even sitting together in church, so he wasn't too thrilled that his daughter was following this call that he did not understand. Well, he stuck with me, and as fathers do. And one day when I was in seminary and I was going to my preaching class, or getting ready for my preaching class, Daddy called me and we were talking, and I said, well, I've got to go because I've got to finish writing a sermon for class. And he said, honey, you don't write sermons. You get in the pulpit and God gives you what you're supposed to say. I said, well, Daddy, that won't fly here because the professor wants something turned in. But today, may he rest in peace. Daddy's been living in heaven 24 years. Today, Daddy gets his wish because I stand before you as my daddy would want you to me to be, hoping and praying that God gives me something to say. I normally come up here with it all written out. I have timed it. I know exactly when we're going to end. And today, I've got this little sheet of paper that I wrote in my car this morning about 72 miles an hour going down a very empty Interstate 26. But we're here, and I couldn't be happier to be here. I had not planned to be here, as Judy said. In fact, I had made all the right arrangements to not be here. In fact, at the board meeting in January, I let them know I would not be here on this day. We have a family tradition of going to the SEC Women's Tournament every year. And the championship game is on Sunday. And last year, we didn't make it to the championship game because the Gamecocks went home early. But the 4 years before that, they had won the championship, and we wanted to be there this year. So Susan did her job, and she got a replacement, and I never thought a thing about it until Monday when I was talking to Frances, and we hadn't gotten any bulletin information from the guest preacher. And when she called him, she found out that he had already called and left a message that he could not come. So we found that out on Tuesday, and we were leaving on our trip on Wednesday. So Susan called Chaplain Boone, who y'all like and love, and I felt like with it being Carrie Ann, it'd be a perfect opportunity, but he had guard duty. So we were trying to decide, Ed and I, whether we'd take two cars and I would just come back or we'd just take one. And then I remembered Corwin, the chaplain that I worked with at Park Ridge, who came last year, brought his family, and I thought, boy, they would love Carrie-Ann. So I called Corwin because, you know, when I went to the General Assembly, Corwin was supposed to preach, but he had to go to the hospital for to get his gallbladder out. So he was so excited to get to make up for that because he likes y'all very much. So Thursday, we go. I don't take any books, any commentaries. I don't take an extra car. We don't take anything. Thursday, I'm sitting in this very loud basketball game, and I see on my phone, on my watch, that Corwin is calling me. Well, I couldn't hear, so I didn't wait. I didn't call, answer him. At halftime, I went out and called, and this lady answered the phone. And I said, I'm looking for Corwin. And she said, well, this is Tracy, Irene. I'm his wife. And I said, don't you dare tell me that he is in the hospital. And she said, believe it or not, we are sitting in the ER at Baptist. They have diagnosed him with appendicitis, and they are waiting on him to go into surgery. I said, that is really almost funny. No offense to his surgery, but that is kind of funny. Once it's a gallbladder, and she said, well, he feels really bad, and he thinks you won't invite him ever again. And I said, does he have his tonsils? I said, because if he doesn't, we're safe. Oh, no, we're not going there. So finally, I just thought, I'm going. I'm just going to go. It felt like the very right decision, not for y'all. I really knew that y'all could stand up and talk to each other or read scripture, but it felt right for me to be here. I love y'all, and I am glad to be here. It did not feel good to Joey. He said, you can't go. Let him do without you. And I said, no, that's what responsibility is. I said, I want to go. So when we get ready to leave the arena last night after our game was early, and then we stayed for the second game. And he said, you don't have to go. I got it worked out. And I said, how did you work it out? He said, I called Susan, and she's going to preach for you. But he did not call you. But, you know, I've told y'all, Joey and I are struggling, and so I don't get to see many of his smiles. But when he told me that story, he just beamed. And it was just worth that to be able to see his story. So I am here. I did read the lectionary, but I had no commentaries. So I have been praying ever since Thursday that God would have something for me to say. And it wasn't, I write things down. And we've been to, there were two games on Wednesday, four games on Thursday, four games on Friday, and two games yesterday. And I love women's basketball, and I love women's basketball in the SEC because we're the best. And there was no time to sit down and write. So when I'm driving this morning in the very early hours, with daylight savings time, extra little boost there, I felt God say, this is about your own journey. This is about trusting me. Because the lectionary reading is about Abraham. And Paul is writing to Jewish people that Paul was trying to convert to Christianity. Jewish people were rule-oriented. They had the law. They knew what it took to be a good Jew. They knew what it took to earn your own salvation. And Paul's trying to say, it's not about that. It's not about dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. It's about believing. It's about believing when everything else points you in the other direction. And for us to understand what Paul is talking about, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 12, just the first and the fourth verse. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And then he gives him a promise. And then in verse 4, it says very simply, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him. So here we have Paul using that Abraham story to teach them that Abraham didn't become the father of humanity or the father of the Hebrew nation by something that was written in a book or some law. That Abraham became the father because he believed. So I thought about believe it or not. Because oftentimes God calls us to believe things that are so contrary to what the law says. We can look at the facts and we think, well, we can't leave there. I can't go preach with no sermon. We can't take this new job. We can't move to this new city. And yet, if we believe, then we can. Abraham had to leave it all. And it says, leave the land of your family. Leave. And he took Sarah, who, as we learned later, Sarah was barren. And God had promised Abraham that he was going to be the father of this nation. And yet he had a barren wife. Those don't go together. And yet we know from, because we preached on it a couple weeks ago, that God intervened. And they did have a son. And that story continued. We are on a Lenten journey. And some of y'all that came to the Lent book study the other day said that one of the reasons that you were there was to learn about Lent. This story today teaches us about Lent. Because Lent is a journey. We are walking on a journey toward Easter. We are headed toward the cross. And yet this journey, God is calling each of us personally to look at what is it that we need on this Lenten journey so that we take those barriers away between us and God. I am a very shy person. You might not believe that, but I am. So for me to speak without it all written down would be like coming up here, I don't even know what. I don't even have an analogy. But God said, go. So I don't know if you will get anything out of this sermon today, but for me, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. And it's a matter of it being not about me. It's about God's work. The other day, sometimes the laws tell us, or the rules tell us, what should happen. Friday in the quarterfinals, Arkansas, who knocked us out last year, Arkansas had played their way in to play Texas A&M. Texas A&M was the highest ranked team. They had come in with 2 days rest. They should have won the game. They led the game for 39 minutes and 52 seconds. So the rules would almost tell you without even worrying about it, they've got this game in the bag. 8 seconds at the end of the game, an Arkansas player got fouled. She made both of her foul shots. They went ahead by one. Now, Texas A&M still had 8.7 seconds or something like that. They could have won the game. They have Kennedy Carter on their team, who is an excellent ball player. And their plan is, everybody that was watching it knew that Kennedy was going to get the ball. Kennedy got the ball. Arkansas converged. She threw it up. It didn't go in. Texas A&M lost a game that they had won, or led in, they didn't win, for 39 out of 40 minutes. Gary Blair is the coach of Texas A&M. And if you ever want to meet a neat gentleman, that's Gary Blair. This guy has class. Last Sunday, the reason Ed wasn't here last Sunday was also basketball, because we had our last home game. Gary Blair went up, and we beat them. He, at the end of the game, he went up to each Gamecock player and not just shook their hand, but he spoke to them. He sees, he recognizes talent, and he admires it. Well, in the post-game interview, Saturday after their loss, they asked him, what would you do differently? He said, nothing. He said, I wouldn't change one thing. He said, my players played their hearts out. He said, they shot, they dribbled, they planned. He said, we did everything we could have done, and we lost. I think that's what Paul is saying in a very different way, that sometimes it's in the losing that we find our faith. Gary Blair's faith in his team did not depend on them winning this game. I'm sure he would have loved to win. You don't be a coach without wanting to win. But his faith in his girls, him knowing that they did all they could, and it wasn't enough, but it was still enough, is how I think Paul is telling the new Christians and us that when we put our rules up first, where things have to be done a certain way, it's not going to be enough. And it's in those times when it's not enough that our faith is the most important. You know, I used to be a hospital chaplain, and I've sat with countless people that are in the hospital and they didn't expect to be there, dealing with things that they never thought would come their way. It always happened to other people. And I can't tell you the number of times that people would say to me, I've done everything right. I go to church. I pray. I read my Bible. I don't do this, that, and the other. And now, look, this has happened, and I don't know what to believe. And I said, well, that's up for you to find out, because God is the one that's going to get you through this. God doesn't protect us from problems. Everybody in this church understands that we all have problems. Something, we get sick, somebody dies, something happens. And what we have put our faith in, the rules, the written things, will not always hold up. But God will always be there. I think that's what Paul was saying to them and to us. Abraham didn't get this because it was written in a book and promised to him. Abraham got it because he believed. Believe it or not. Lent invites us to look at what do we believe and what those beliefs do for us when all the rules of the world fall apart. Because God is with us at all times and in all situations. In verse 16, it says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's descendants. We, my friends, are Abraham's descendants. We are here as part of that family of faith. I hope that Lent is challenging you. I hope that Lent is doing like it did to Abraham and pulling you out of that comfort zone. And I also hope that Lent is asking you, what do you believe or not? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for faith, for trust in you, for belief in you, when all of our plans fall apart, because we know that you are there, you have always been there, and you always will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is 565, If You Will Trust in God to Guide You. And as we talked about last week, during Lent, our invitation is not just for church membership. Our invitation is continued on our Lenten journey. So if you sing the song, sing it about what is God speaking to you to help you this week as you walk in your own Lent journey. Stand if you are able, hymn number 565. Today's the day we exit through this door over here, not the back door, because this door is where the food is. So I hope that everyone will join us for lunch. If you can't stay long enough to get a plate, and then at least you can be part of us. So I'm going to bless the food and bless our parting, and then we will sing our closing hymn. God, thank you today for Carrie-Anne. Thank you for the opportunity to share food with each other. You taught us through your own actions the importance of sitting down and breaking bread one with the other. Bless our time together. Bless the food that was brought, and bless us in your spirit. And as we leave this place, may we go in your peace. Amen. And our going forth song is 444, Let Us Now Depart in Peace. And we will sing it twice.